All right, so that was the last of our commands. Let's dive into some missions. First one up is faint.
Actually, the first one up is not faint. Okay. Mainly because I did a little edit at the last moment. I want to do this card because it was the first mission card I ever played, and it's absolute rubbish.
Okay.
I looked at it and I thought, hey, that's great, and no, it's absolute rubbish. It's actually critical hit.
Okay.
Which is really, really bad. You play during a battle, choose one of your mechs, roll a die. On a 1 to 5, you put critical hit back in your hand. And on a 6, you do +6 damage. I had it in my opening hand, and I still had it in my hand at the end of the game.
Never once did it succeed, and that's why it is not reliable. Do not play unreliable cards in your deck, folks. You win a lot more.
Yeah. It's a 2. It's a 2 because sometimes you can be lucky. And only for that reason.
Yeah. Well, don't get lulled into it, new players. All right. So now we're up to faint.
Yes. I think this is actually kind of one of those little underestimated mission cards that was used or could be used and used to good effect. Arguably, it might be better in draft. Choose one of your mechs. Roll a die. One on the die is no effect. 2 to 6. Prevent all damage dealt to that and received by that mech. It's a survival card. Very good against hunting decks. Very good if you've got that Ryokan D with that extra missile rack on there and someone is going to go after it. I've seen that used by a friend of mine called Neil Rawlings 2 or 3 times to great effect. And basically... they go after the Ryokan D, you drop your feint, it deals no damage, but it receives no damage, it survives. You know, useful. One of those that you, if you've only got this set, you might play.
Got it. Good stuff, anything before we jump on?
I wouldn't include it in a current deck. If I'm only using the original set in Counter-Strike, yes, I would play this card. Because it prevents the clan hunt down, which is very popular.
Right. All right, next one up. We got Forge Mission Orders.
Yeah. Again, very good card. Play only when blocked, untap a blocking mech. So you, if you win initiative, generally the case when you're attacking, you can wait for the guy to say, I'm going to deal that damage, or I'm going to play a mission card and do that, and then you can remove the mech. The interesting one with this is it actually stops a card which came out later called Reactor Breach, which is, again, a very powerful card. If you attack and the guy chump blocks just throwing something in front, Forge Mission Order it, hit your stockpile, damage dealt.
Got it.
It's a fantastic card. I would say in your draft, it's a 10. In your constructed in this meta, it's also an 8 or a 9. It's a fantastic card. In fact, even in the current meta, I would still play one of these or two of these in a deck. It's a good mission because it ensures damage is dealt to the stockpile. And if you have initiative, it ensures that their unit that's the biggest, baddest unit that attempted to block is out of the game or out of that battle.
Gotcha. Awesome. All right, next one up, Good Shooting.
Yep. Again, simple mission card. Choose one of your mechs. That mech gets +2 attack. I think with this card, the damage boost from playing a mission was established, really. This mission gives you +2. There are a number of missions that give you -1, +1. I.e. receive one less damage and deal one extra damage. It's basically the same value. What you'll see later is that when you look to other mission cards that deal more damage, then there is some sort of restriction on them or a die roll or an inhibiting factor. So this is tried and trusted. You get exactly what you see. You get +2 damage, and it's the benchmark card across the board for damage for me. Is it playable these days? Yeah, it's probably playable. There are probably arguably better cards and cards you'll want to put in your deck to fit a theme. But if you've got just limited and maybe Counter-Strike, then you know what you're going to get. It's a 6 for me.
I can't include this in a deck. I would play Pushing the Envelope. every time over good shooting. I want the three, the plus three attack, and I'll take the three damage to my unit.
Okay. Pushing pushing was a counter-strike card, right? Pushing envelope. Nope. No?
Is it? I'm pretty sure it's the...
It's coming up.
Limited.
Oh, is it limited? Okay. All right. Next one, Heavy Fog.
Yeah. Stands the test of time, this one. Arguably, for me, one of the best defensive mission cards available. It takes a little bit to understand it because the wording's not great. Attacking mechs each get minus two attack and receive two less damage. So if you're a clan player, and arguably the best example I can pull out of this is Peter Sundholm's first world champion wolf deck. He had six heavy fogs in the sideboard because he'd heard about the Innosphere swarms, the two-cost mechs that came out two every turn, that did two damage. So with this card, this mission card in his hand, he had a couple of options. One, because there's no restrictions on blocking, he could just let them go straight through to the stockpile and say, right, everyone does two less damage. They all do two damage, so they deal nothing. So he can just let them go through. Or he can actually defend, play the mission card, they all deal two less damage and receive two less damage, but he can over damage one of the mechs. So if they needed six to kill, he could deal eight to kill it, and that's out of the way. So it gives your mech survivability and allows you potentially to pick off the other guys, or just let them through and deal nothing. Very, very useful in that respect.
I really like Heavy Fog in a missile deck because that minus two attack for my missile boat that already is down to zero because of all those retrofits, it's great that I can play this as the attacking player who's likely to have initiative, prevent the extra damage. So they block enough to kill my Ryokan D. I prevent the damage. My missiles all go over the top. I'm good to go.
Awesome. Rating, final rating. Keep it in your decks.
Nine.
It's a nine or a 10. It is one of the best mission cards available as a defensive player.
Awesome. All right, next one. Heroic Sacrifice.
Okay. Play only if you have tactics in play. I don't know why they put the wording there, because you're going to have tactics in play to have initiative, basically.
Right.
Okay, there are situations where your tactics has been removed or destroyed or whatever else, but it's completely irrelevant. And only when blocked. So, okay. Double all damage dealt to one of your mechs. Deal that mech's damage to the target. So this is the heroic sacrifice. This is me going forward. I take twice as much damage, but I can deliver that damage to my target. There was a very interesting, or at least a fun, Wizards of the Coast deck, which was called the Heroic Hunchback. And there was one particular Hunchback clan card, I think it's the 2C, that's a 1-4-5 overheat for 5, or alpha for 5.
Alpha strike for 5.
Alpha for 5. So basically you've got 10 damage on that mech. So what you would do, again, probably better in draft, is that you would go up there, you would alpha it, it's going to die anyway, you play your heroic sacrifice and deal 10 straight to the stockpile. And again, on a 40 card game, that's considerable. Probably better in draft. You're probably not going to play it in any sort of tournament or constructed, but it has its uses.
On a stalemate board in a draft setting, absolutely. I think it'd be up there around an 8 or 9. And constructed, it's a 1 or a 2 for me. I would never play this in a constructed deck.
Got it. Next one up, Leap Before You Look.
I like this card, and I think it's underestimated by a lot of people. As I said earlier, a few cards back, good shooting gives you +2. Anything higher than that comes at a price. And the price for this is the fact that you can only play it on a mech that jumps. Put that in context, probably about 40% of the mechs in the game have got jump. So it's not arguably going to be a main board card. But as a sideboard card, definitely, if you're worried about that particular one. There was a player called Barry Young who was very good at playing Swarms and the Solaris pilot versions of those. And in Worlds 98, he came fourth. He valued that this card that highly that he even had one in the main deck and another in the sideboard, possibly two. The other use for this one is elemental points. They have four structure, no armor, and they jump. So if you know someone's playing an elemental point deck, this is actually really, really good. You're getting four damage, which is rare. I like it as a sideboard card.
As a sideboard card, I think it's extremely high as well. That Ghost Bear strip mining operations, elemental point dragonfly deck, being able to hit those dragonflies for four or those elementals and take them out for four is huge. Sideboard only, it's an eight or a nine because it is that good in the sideboard in those situations. I wouldn't put this in main deck. Okay.
All right, next card coming up, Luck of the Fox.
Yeah. Again, this is a nostalgia thing, and arguably a link into Yik's deck, the Davian Swarm deck that I mentioned when we were talking about Heavy Fog. Yik's deck was basically 20, 25 resources, 30 mechs, and a few mission cards, and it was pretty good against Clan, especially people that didn't know how to play against it. Where it struggled was actually the Bearer of McKinsey Hammer McMallet deck. It really couldn't beat the Bearer deck, maybe once in three kind of thing. There is a die roll in there, but the card says choose a mech the opponent controls. Okay, so you don't have to block, which is a bonus. Roll a die, no effect. Okay, so the card goes. 2-3, return Luck of the Fox to your hand. 4-6, prevent all damage dealt by that mech. So you've got a 50% chance of stopping all damage from that mech. If you roll a 2 or 3, it comes back to your hand, which means you can play it again and again and again. So this was his method of trying to deal with the bearer style decks that untap and untap and untap. If he deals damage and you get a 2 or 3, you have a go next go. If you hit a 4, 5, or 6, you prevent the damage. And from that perspective, at that time, it was actually quite reasonable. Have I ever seen one played in a deck again? No. Is anyone going to play it? No. Does it make an appearance? Yeah, Commander's Edition boxes. You know, it's not bad, but it's not going to get played.
Let's skip right to the next one. We've already talked about this one. High quality, Lured into the Bog.
Yeah, Lured into Bog. A lot of people misread this one. Mm-hmm. Play only when attacked. All attacking mechs may be blocked regardless of their speed until the end of turn. That's not the end of mission. That's the end of turn. So if you've got this card in your hand and you're playing a slow deck and the guy's coming across with fast, put it on the table. Thank you very much. Now I can block anything he wants. Hmm. It's very, very good to counter fast mechs.
It's fantastic. If you're playing Inner Sphere, this is a card that you want to have either main deck or for sure in sideboard.
Awesome.
Inner Sphere is just slower.
Yeah.
All right. Next one up. So high rating. We're doing it. I really like this one.
Lured into Bog, rating 8, I went for.
9 if you're an Inner Sphere player.
Got it. All right, Overwhelm.
Overwhelm. This is again probably a little underrated. Very, or used quite a bit in early decks, especially those swarms. The only time you'll ever see it or possibly see it mentioned after that was in Tom Scheister Smith's Rocky Gorge Master deck in 2000. But it's a focus card. Choose an engaged mech your opponent controls. All of your mechs deal damage only to that mech. Each of your mechs gets +2 attack. So if the guy's got something that's a bit heavy and a bit durable and going to give you a world of hurt, you can gang up on it and everything gets +2. So it's one of those ways of dealing with that gunslinger or that thunderhawk. You know, not bad. In its function, does it get played? No. People tend to go with other missions instead. For me, it's probably a 7.
It's a 2. I wouldn't play this in the deck. There are so many better things to be playing than Overwhelm in order to deal with the Big Mac.
Got it. Things that came later, or things even in the current meta, the limited meta?
And if you're playing in the limited meta, I still wouldn't play this. The picture shows a bunch of, it looks like cicadas Jenner's trying to get rid of a Mad Cat. That's not how I would deal with a Mad Cat. I would tap it with the Misrouted Commands. I would deal with it in a different way than with an Overwhelm. I don't think that's...
Arguably superseded by better missions.
Yeah, better missions are out there.
Cards.
Yeah.
But at the time, not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
And speaking of better missions, we already talked about this one, pushing the envelope. Gustav, tell us about...
Yeah, it's a rated 9 for me. The ability, a lot of the Clan Fast Mechs, I'm looking at those Fenrises that'll do 4, or the Dragonflies that have 3+ AP. That is the magic number 7 right there. The ability to hit 7 is so important. Please link Mark Roberts' article on the ability of 7. It's a masterpiece. This card gets you there with one unit. I'm a huge fan of this card, and in limited it's a 9. In constructed play, I still think it's a 7 or 8. It has stood the test of time.
It's a good card. The big bonus with this card is playing it when you're attacking and winning initiative, and you know where your opponent is going to deal damage. If they decide to take out one of your units, then 3 damage on that unit is it's dead anyway. It makes no difference. If they split the damage, then you can choose where to put it. It's your choice. It's solid. It knows what it's doing. It does it every time. 3 damage comes at a price.
All right, next one up, Rapid Cooldown.
It's a bit circumstantial. Roll a die, mechs don't receive overheat damage on a 1-3. On a 4-6, mechs do not receive overheat damage and return it to your hand. Sounds like a win-win situation to me in that respect.
When we're talking about die rolls, this is the best die roll you could possibly have. You get the benefit you want, and you get the benefit you want, and you get to do it again. If you're in an overheat deck, I'm looking at you, Karita, Jenners, where we don't have access to Redline Pilots. We don't have access to Deep Lake. Those cards come later in sets. This is the ability to do your overheat and not damage your own mechs. And also, remember, if you're the attacking player, your opponent doesn't know you're not going to be receiving overheat damage. So they may account for your overheat damage when they deal the allocation of units. So this can actually be a prevent damage from play.
Got it. All right, next up, Sacrifice for the Dragon.
Yeah. Remember I said about that 2 cost plus 2 damage card? Mm-hmm. This one has a real potential, but again, it's at the price. Choose one of your mechs, roll a die, 1-2, draw a card. Well, that's not too shabby. Mm-hmm. There are worse things that can happen on a 1-2. 3-5, that mech gets +2 attack and receives 1 damage. So you're into good shooting territory. On a 6, you get +6 and receive 2 damage. So you can use it as a sacrifice card. Also note there's no blocking condition here. So if your opponent lets you go through to the stockpile, you can just try for a +6, mm-hmm. which is, again, you know, 40 damage +6 is getting into that 6th or a 7th. So it can really hurt in that respect. Do you feel lucky?
If you're a Krita player, you'll play this over Critical Hit. But remember what Mark said earlier in this podcast about Critical Hit. That's all I have to say. It's a 1 or 2 for me.
Okay. Satchel Charges, next up.
Again, this one is history. The Evil Dasher deck that Wizards of the Coast put out and is included in this, we'll upload it. didn't take into account some of the mission cards that were played. This was arguably one of them. If you remember before, we talked about Black Market and Melissa Steiner scrapping one of those cards from your hand. This is one of those other cards that can be used to get some damage out of that spare munitions that you've got and aren't going to put on the table. So people often missed out the fact that this was useful and could give a reasonably guaranteed bonus. Choose an attacking mech, roll a die, 1 to 2, draw a card, not too bad. 3 to 6, that mech gets +2 attack for each card you scrap from your hand. It's not going to get played these days. People's resources are probably more likely to go into Black Market or Melissa to get the cards they really want. But early on in the game, then it was actually one of the ways of utilizing all of those spare resources in your hand.
And quickly moving through, Strength of Pillar of Steel, kind of similar idea, kind of obsolete, you know, in the current game.
Play only when you're blocking, fine. It gives you +1 initiative. So I've played it and I get another initiative so I can play another mission card. Why don't I just play the mission card to start with? The only thing you can say here is prevent 1 damage to each blocking mech, which if you go back to good shooting being your standard of +2, -1, +1, it's got less effect, arguably. I know it's each blocking mech, but again, not one of those cards that I would put anywhere these days. I think it went in my first In Their Sphere deck and didn't go very far after that, apart from back in the box.
I've never played it. It's a 1.
It's a 1.
I think I had 1 deck and 2 expansions at the time when I put it in the deck.
All right, next one, Study Move. Now, we definitely talked about this and podcast coming up, so this one has survived on some level. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I know Michael Cohen's a very big fan of this card. I'm not so much a fan of it. Basically, it's a mission. It says return a mission card from your scrap heap to your hand. Okay, fine. You get your mission back. I'm going to need to jump or have a pilot to play that mission again. And arguably, well, isn't Black Market going to do what I want? Or Melissa, arguably. So why am I playing a mission to get a mission back? It's a 5 because it could be used. You might play in draft, but after that, that's about it for me.
Yeah. I think Chad Edwards used this in his World Championship deck because he wanted the split of 1-1-1 singleton missions and have the flexibility of a studied move to be able to pull the right mission in at the right time, whether you need a Blitzkrieg, whether you need one of those kind of things. And a lot of his mechs in that deck had jump to get that extra initiative.
Yeah, but, it was Tom Shyster-Smith who beat Chad's free deploy deck in the final with the Gorge. He had FMO, he had Blitzkrieg, he had final push in there. He could pull any one of those he wanted depending on the situation and how the player was playing.
So it's a flexible card, but I wouldn't play this. I would rather play another mission that I want to have. I want to play another overrun. I want to play a Forge Mission Orders. I want to play more of consistency rather than the one of. So this is not a card I would use. I understand why you'd give it a ranking of a 5. I'd give it a ranking of a 2 or 3.
So the main value here is just selecting, you know, being able to kind of choose on the fly of kind of what mission you're going to play. Is that what we're saying?
But you have to have the right mission card in your scrap heap at that point in time, right, which again is not necessarily consistent.
Got it. All right, next one, Temporary Ceasefire.
I had to put this one in. The first tournament I ever played in was the British Nationals. And I played a very good player called Rob Matthews, who was playing a Solaris pilot deck against my Wolf deck, and after the first round where he thwacked me quite nicely, this was the card that I sideboarded in order to win the next game. Basically, play during battle, roll a die, 1, your mechs deal no damage and you draw a card, 2 to 6, all mechs deal no damage. So Rob was playing with a lot of pilots with Forge Mission Orders, 2 of those and 2 overruns. And I needed a win. So I took my heart in my hand and went for it. And he attacked with a big group and I blocked with a single mech and played temporary ceasefire and rolled a 4. And then he did exactly the same the next turn, and my poor little Fenris C stood there and waved the white flag, and I rolled a 5. And then he attacked the final turn, and I rolled a 2, and my Fenris C gave a big sigh of relief, and then I beat him on the next turn, and without that card, I wouldn't have done it. Flexible, useful, can be used to defend or in that respect, or keep your mech alive. Do you see it so much? No, not these days. But it has its place for me. It's a useful card. You could put it in most decks and it would play. Is it meta? No.
It definitely can see play. I could see it as a 5 or a 6. It definitely can see play, especially as a sideboard card.
All right, gamers. So that concludes the second part of my conversation with Mark and Gustav talking about the mission cards. Definitely make sure you're checking out the description to catch the first and third part of this conversation. And subscribe, hit that bell notification if you want to find out when we are releasing the videos for the other expansions, Counter-Strike, MechWarrior, Mercenaries, and so on, because we'll be doing a breakdown of all of those as well. So put a comment down below if you have questions about a mission that we either did cover or didn't cover. We'll be happy to kind of check that out, make sure we kind of cover all the bases to give you guys the information you need to maximize your enjoyment of this great game from the late 90s, early 2000s. But this is Travis signing off. Thanks again for watching, and we'll catch you on the next video. Bye.